Okay, we're going to look tonight, Wednesday evening, 10/26/22, second part of Grace in Trials. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 3:12. Says here in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. To prosecute means to pursue. Out of the strong, to pursue. So what does that mean? When you turn into the wind, when you turn into God's will, you become a target. Just plain and simple. I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. I remember Mark Taylor said, if your life isn't a living hell, you ain't doing nothing for God. Yeah, how true it is. You know, you become a target. All right? The devil doesn't bother those that don't bother him. When you're over the target, you get targeted. All right. Let's go to Romans 12. We're going to read this. Well, there's 21. Yeah, this whole chapter here. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's kind of like, think about Abraham and Isaac. You know, a lot of people say he's a little boy. Well, no, he wasn't. He was a man. And the thing was, whenever his father said, get up there and let me strap you down, he obeyed. But God provided a way out, didn't he? But he willingly. That's what I see here. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, it's kind of like being in the military. The government owns you while you're in service. So we've been bought with a price. God owns us. We are a living sacrifice. We are being offered, if you will, for his service and what comes with that. And that's the way it is in the military, along with the training. All right? It says, be not conformed to this world. See, as a Christian, we're not to be conformed to this world. Why is the church so full of the world? Because I don't think anybody ever reads this or does it. I mean, I know some do, but for the most part, probably they don't even know really what it means. And they wonder, well, God never told me to do anything. What's God's will for your life? I don't know. I guess nothing. You ever heard that? No, everybody that's born, they have a purpose. Born again, they're born. God had a purpose. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. In other words, we're all connected. We're a body, but we all have a different office. Even if you're called to the same office, there's no two alike. Even if you believe the same things, you're unique. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Don't you read that again? Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Oh, that's another one of them. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I used to think that meant a bad thing, but it really means a good thing. They used to carry the cooking pots on their head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Like the Amplified, it says, master evil with good. So this is that when we submit to God's service, this is the conduct. I mean, chapter 13 goes on to talk about, let every soul be subject to the high powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that are be are ordained of God. We looked at that Sunday about powers. Okay. We see here how grace causes you to be lovely, even in trials. Lovelies. All right, we've been looking at grace last week and now this week. Right here, this word is, it's pronounced, it's C-H-A-R-I-S, but it's pronounced charis, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the heart, gratitude. The vine says, grace that bestows or occasions pleasure, delight or causes favorable regard. It is applied to beauty or gracefulness of person. How you act in a trial. Been filling the flames. You've been filling the flames? I was thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego today. And I thought, Lord, I bet when they went in there, they were hollering. Because they felt the fire. And here the fourth man showed up. They went right into it. But I bet you they felt it. I don't think it's just they didn't feel a thing. I think they thought, this is it, guys. But we didn't bow. All right. When the flames get hot, we can't bow. All right, this is Acts 16:16. Now, while Paul waited for them, I'm at the wrong chapter, sorry, over one page. 16:16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So they got beaten. They was filled in the flames, weren't they? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Most people say, "Yeah, go ahead, kill yourself. You sorry so-and-so for putting me in here, beating me, putting me in here." No, it's not what he said. Then he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Wouldn't you think maybe their character had something to do with what won him over? Well, as a result, him and his whole house got saved. Just a thought, you know? Their grace under trial caused a whole household to be converted. That grace on them touched everyone around them. And the power of God showed up in the midst, even though they had been beaten. And they were in stocks. I'm telling you. You talk about their backs all beat up, and then just think about their feet in the stocks. Their hands were probably chained. Man, they're in pain. All right, God wants us to wear our grace like an ornament. That's what I heard this morning. Your grace is an ornament, like a hat or a piece of jewelry. We're going to look at just a couple of scriptures about that. This is Proverbs 1. I didn't know that there was any, but I found them. Proverbs 1, we're going to look at verse 7, 8, and 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament or grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Here's another one just a few pages over. This is Proverbs 4, 9. It says, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Talking about wisdom. Ornament here means something attached, like a wreath. You know, when they used to the Olympic Games, they put a wreath on their head. All right, what does grace do? It causes you to be able to do things, endure things that are not normally possible. The sum of earthly blessings, the power and equipment to do ministry. Yeah. Okay, let's look at some more scriptures. Ephesians chapter 3. You know, I was thinking about Brother Hagin today and how much I appreciated him and his example, because he didn't talk about it much. You see a little bit in his books. He'll bring some things out about... He got saved when he was on that deathbed, so to speak, after dying three times, coming back. And then he was healed. I guess he got off the bed by faith when he was about 17. But he tells about times where he was attacked. He had to stand against what tried to take him out when he was in his teens his whole life. But you never heard him talk about anything other than the victory, anything other than faith. Even though you know he had experienced things. All right, this is Ephesians 3:2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he'd made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Let me see where, okay, 7. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs unto the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. He suffered greatly because he took the gospel. He accepted the commission and he obeyed God. And from what we understand, he was actually martyred. People with grace are gracious. Yeah. Acts 2:47. I'll go up to 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Danny was commenting on how the grace of giving over there in 2 Corinthians, I believe it was talking about there was a fellowship that were so poor, but they had to press on them to take the gift because they were sowing, even though they were in need, but they were going to take care of those in Jerusalem. Well, at the beginning of the church, no one lacked anything. What went wrong? Started getting off track somewhere. Yeah. To be in favor is to find grace with. To be in favor with is to find grace with. Favor and grace kind of go together, I think. Okay, Romans 1:7. This is always what Paul, when he'd greet a fellowship, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by the grace of God that we do what we do. It's by the grace of God he did what he did. It's by the grace of God Jesus did what he did. We can't do it without the grace. Not at all. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:3. Another. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. These are Paul's greetings to the churches. It's kind of a part of grace is gratitude. Gratitude. A mode of rejoicing. If anyone had a right to gripe and complain about situations, it would have been Paul. You know? Yeah. To me, grace helps you walk when you're in pain, distress, and no one knows you're going through anything. People come away thinking they never have a problem with anything, do they? I remember Joyce Meyer talking about Dave Meyer that way. He might bring up, oh yeah, a few weeks ago I was going through some things. She said, I never knew anything. Yeah. Grace comes from our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to look at that. This is 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to youward. Always by the grace of God. This is all through. It's all through the epistles. Galatians 1:6. There's one, I didn't write it down, about great grace was upon them all. Isn't that right? Great grace. All right, Galatians 1:6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Fire get too hot? Sad to say today, or the churches I've been in, they're listening to another gospel because they don't think. I remember going into the Assembly of God there in Andrews and that man saying, oh, nowhere in the Bible has God ever letting his people suffer. I'm going, really? I didn't know the Bible. I'm thinking, I don't think anything could be further from the truth. But for some reason, I think that's why prayer chains got started, because we don't, or the church does not think they need to suffer for anything. At first, they're suffering, man. They're going to the doctor. They're going wherever they need to go to get relief. Instead of thinking, I remember telling someone, because they have a ministry, I've said, have you ever considered this condition that you've had for so long that maybe it has to do with Paul's thorn? I don't mean sickness. I mean, because of your ministry, you get attacked. I said, have you ever considered that? Oh, no, no, nobody. You know, Paul, he's, you know, he, that's a sacred cow. You don't go there. Nobody can attain to what Paul attained. Really? He wasn't any different than you and I. He was just a believer that obeyed God, and the grace of God was on him to do what God called him to do. All right, Romans 5:15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. That's something that we can call on day and night, is God's grace. All right, go to 2 Thessalonians 1:12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no trial that comes your way that God does not provide the grace for you to walk through it. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but he does. All right, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amplified says to bear under it manfully. Manfully. You believe it? Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Especially when you're feeling the flames. All right, James 4:6. But he giveth us more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So grace goes to those, not the double-minded, those that go, I'm going in there, praying to God, I'm going in there, I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to stand, even though it's hot, I'm going to do it. See, that's submitting yourselves, therefore, to God. Remember, we are a living sacrifice. What does the sacrifice do? Whatever the one that's sacrificing us says. All right. You could say that grace is also divine favor. Luke 1:28. We saw that with Paul and Silas because of the grace upon them after what they went through and how they acted. The jailer rushed in thinking, man, I've never seen anybody like this. 1:28. People know what's real and what's fake. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Think about this. She's under the law. She's, 14 years old, they say, something around that age. Just a little girl. I mean a little girl. And here the angel says, you're going to have a son. She could have been stoned to death. But she trusted God and he saw her through. All right, Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. God is pleased when we draw upon his grace. We go into the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God showed up in the midst of it. He didn't let them burn. So again, grace helps us to be gracious under trial. This is 1 Peter 2, one. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Yeah, right here. The word gracious means easy, good, and kind. This is Christos, easy, good, and kind. Why? He's training us. We're going through endurance training. He's watching. He's looking. How are they acting? Are they freaking? What are they doing? Philippians 4:8. He's overseeing the whole thing, just like a sergeant in the military oversees those cadets or whatever he's training. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. What does that do? It keeps the enemy from bombarding us with, oh, you're not going to make it this time. Oh, you're never going to get out of this. He's a liar. There's no grace in him. But there is in God. All right, there's a scripture in the Old Testament, Isaiah 43:2. In fact, it's a scripture song, I think. In fact, I think we sang it. Yeah. 43:2 says, When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. See, grace himself walks with us. In fact, he is in the lead. Psalms 23. We all know that one, but we're going to read it. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sounds pretty good, right? All right, go back to the New Covenant, 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. That's what I was talking about a while ago. They weren't looking at, I barely have enough to eat, but I'm going to give this anyway. They were thinking about their reward that was coming because of their sacrifice. Yeah. Strong's here, the word trial means test. By implication, trustiness. Can God trust you when he sends you out on the field? When you're finally standing where you believe you're supposed to be? Will he be able to trust you? Or will you be a John Mark? I'm going to go home to mama. I don't like all this getting beat up and thrown in jail. That's what happened. But later he wrote the book of Mark. And Paul said, you know, bring Mark with you. He's got some things that he can help me with or whatever. He grew up. Okay, let's keep going here. Hebrews 11, 32. Well, we could read the whole thing, but we're just going to start with 32 here. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And on it goes. That tells me they had some trials. Trial here means through the ideal of piercing, a test, objective endeavor, scrutinize, entice, and discipline. That's what it does. That's what the trial does. God is watching your performance under trial. This is necessary before you can be released to do what he's called you to do. Some of us have fierier flames than others because we might have a lot more to do than another. But anything God calls you to do, this is the Bible way. Now, I know we're used to the churchy way. Well, what cemetery are you going to, you know? That's not how God trains his people. Now, I will backtrack on that. If you're praying and asking the Lord, and he tells you to go to a place, that's a totally different story. But just to assume, because I've got a call, well, I need to go follow that teacher or this pastor or that apostle or that prophet or whatever and learn what I need to do. No, when God calls you, then he will equip you. That's part of that grace, the grace of God. It's part of the gifting that goes with your calling and your training. I mean, it's like a first grader saying, or kindergarten, first day, I'm going to be a brain surgeon, so I'm expecting to go and put in my resume tomorrow and get on staff. And I expect next week to be doing brain surgery. Yeah, right. How many years of schooling? People understand that in the natural, but when you think about spiritual things, they don't get it, that the training can oftentimes be even more excruciating. People don't get that. But they apply the spiritual training to really just going to an institution that puts, that has a gun that shoots out pastor under the corporation. It's the absolute truth. And it took me a long time to get to the place that I understood what God was doing by keeping me out of there. I kept going back, thinking I had to be there, had to come up under somebody, had to do it the way we learned it in church. But God was saying, no, I want to train you my way. That is the real way. Thinking, Lord, why didn't they teach us this? Why didn't they teach us this? Maybe they don't know this. Okay, let's keep going here. Where did I leave off? Did I read Hebrews? Okay, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. I feel like, Lord, if I'd have known this 40 years ago, 20 years ago, here I keep wanting to go back. And the Lord says, no. I'm going, no, no. And the Lord saying, no, no. God, it takes us so long to get these mindsets in line with His Word, in line with His will. In fact, I was listening to SQAnon. He had a new file. Did you listen to it? It's over an hour. He's the most gracious man as far as the way he talks and articulates. He's very careful about what he says, and he's very much a Christian and is in the know about things, the real know about things. He was talking about the MK Ultra programming and how hard it is to break. And that's what the whole earth is under. Everybody. We were all done that way through movies and television and all this stuff, our schooling. And I'm thinking, we started this out with, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By its, well, Amplify says, new ideas. God's ways of looking at things. God's way of doing things instead of just doing it the world's way because that's all you know. So they were counting on that so they could take us over and take us out. Thank God. He woke us up. Okay. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Gives me goosebumps. Trial here means testing. By implication, it means trustworthiness. You're not going to bail when the fire gets hot. You've been tested in the fire, so you know how to walk through the fire and not be moved. All right, 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. A lot of fire tonight in there. Fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing is happening unto you. I'm telling you, the things that we're going through, people would be at the doctor and they'd have all their medications and they'd probably be in the hospital having the procedures to get it off of them. And God's shaking his head. They're being tested. But see, we weren't taught that. We were taught, you don't need to go through anything. But rejoice inasmuch. What would have happened if they did that in the military? Well, we'd be losing a lot of battles, wouldn't we? Thank God they put them through endurance, hard things. Sometimes you think too hard, but somewhere down the line it's going to save their life, isn't it? But rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. That says it all. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not those that can't take anything, have to have 50 people praying for them, and if it doesn't work, they run to the doctor and got to have all their stuff to take care of every little something or another. No. They don't know they just ran to the belly of the beast. Are you a son of God? If you're following the Spirit, you're a son of God. All right, our prime example, Jesus, Luke 4. Even the very Son of God had to submit to Father's discipline, trustworthiness. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We've been led into this wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, yeah, now when you're all broken down. I remember Moses talking, Lord, I can't talk. Lord, I can't do nothing no more. I'm just an old broken down old man. Why didn't you use me when I come out of Egypt? I was mighty, powerful. No, he'll get you where you know your total dependence is on him and it's not on your might. But it's on his grace. He afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone to be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, and all shall be thine. Jesus was hurting in his flesh. He was hurting bad. And he was being tempted of the devil to take the escape route. The escape clause came into play. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What will you do in the midst of the fire? Take the easy way out? Or say, nope, I'm going through. Got on my asbestos underwear, I'm going through. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. All right, if you are a son of God, we are being tested as sons of God, and it will, or son of God, and we will never, and we will, it will be over one day, and we will come out full of power of the Holy Ghost, and we will accomplish what Father has willed for us to do. Take heart, the grace is there to get you through. I felt it. I felt the ramping up. Been going on to for some weeks now. I mean, I'm going, man, I thought it was hot before. But we are sitting in a place, and listening to SQAnon today, we're sitting at a place in this whole earth, and we've won. But the battle is really heated right now. The devil's doing everything he can. And a lot of the fierceness that we're fearing or facing is because we're standing in the gap here as spiritual warriors. And we're feeling the heat. But one of these days, that heat's not going to be there. So we got to look to the goal like Paul. I don't look what's behind, but I look forward to the goal that's before me. Press on to the high calling in Christ Jesus.